This is the day. The day when the Son of Man was nailed to a cross. The day when the Son of God willingly gave up his life. It was on this day, almost 2,000 years ago, that Jesus of Nazareth walked the road to Calvary outside the gates of Jerusalem and was crucified by evil men. This is Good Friday. As Jesus walked to his death that day, he tells the weeping women not to cry for him, but for themselves. Because soon judgment will fall on Jerusalem, and they will see and they will experience the atrocities of war. In his grace and mercy, God gives the people of Jerusalem 40 years to repent and turn to the truth. And in telling the women not to cry for him, he tells us not to regard him with sympathy. The reason for Good Friday is not that we would feel bad for Jesus. Although the suffering he endures pulls us in that direction, it's a pull that we must resist, we must reject, and we must replace with something else, with something more, with something better. It is not our sympathy that we are to give Jesus, but our sincere faith. For while the wrath of God is satisfied in Jesus, this day is not all about wrath. This day starts in love. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. That the seed of Adam would crush the head of the serpent, as foretold back in the Garden of Eden so many years ago. Jesus is not convincing the Father to love us by dying for us. It is on the cross that we see the love of the Father as the Son lays down his life in the power of the Spirit. This is not Son versus Father, but it is the triune Godhead working together to save us from the wages of our sin, which is death. Now, why is that important? Why does the Trinity matter? Well, it matters because it's who God is. It matters because it makes sense of the Scriptures, because it shows us the length that God went through to bring us back. The doctrine of the Trinity is not some side issue, not some thought experiment, only for theologians and ivory towers, but for us, for the people of God, who want to know how a transcendent God could relate to their sufferings, who want to know how their sins could be atoned for, who want to know by what power they can live a holy life. It was not some creation that he sent, just another man made of dust. This was the second person of the Trinity. It was the Father's one and only unique Son who hung on that cross. So don't see him as an object of pity. He's the object of our worship. Because it was in love for us that he endured the wrath that we had stored up for ourselves, for the sins we committed, the sins that we had perpetrated against our Creator, all the times where we go our own way, all the times when we do evil in the eyes of the Lord, when we break his perfect law, and it was all paid for on the cross because of his great love for us. So don't weep for Jesus, but weep for us. For it was our sin that put him there and his love that held him there. In a song that we're going to sing later, there's a verse that says this: "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed. Son of Man and Son of God." Sin is not some light oops that we can shrug off or chalk up to being messy. Sin is an affront to God. Sin is treason against our Creator. It's an abomination before the Lord. Do not see it as anything less than that. Do not make the mistake of minimizing sin. Do not make the mistake of seeing God as this doting old grandfather who will allow anything to go on because he just so badly wants you in heaven. until you see and understand the depravity of your own sin, you will not understand the greatness and the magnitude of God's love and sacrifice to save you. See, it's vogue these days to downplay the wrath of God, to look at sacrifice as something that belongs in the Stone Ages, something that's needed to satisfy a bloodthirsty tyrant of ancient times. It's trendy to say that penal substitutionary atonement, or the idea that Jesus died as a substitute and took the penalty for our sins, it's trendy to say that this is nothing more than cosmic child abuse, and a God of love would never do such a thing. This is why the Trinity is important. For when we understand rightly the doctrine of God being three persons in one being, we understand that Jesus is on the cross by his own volition. No one takes his life from him, but he freely gives it. And that while he is sent by the Father, he freely goes and willingly goes, not to satisfy the bloodlust of an ancient tyrant, but to provide justice for evil and to wash clean his elect. Three times in the passage, we read Jesus was told to save himself. The rulers scoff at him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ. The soldiers mock him. If you are the King of Kings, save yourself. One of the criminals rail at him. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. It's precisely because he is the Messiah, because he is the Christ, that he would not save himself. It's precisely because he came to save us that he didn't heed the mocking, even though he could have. Anytime he wanted to, he could have saved himself, but his mission was not to save himself. In fact, he had nothing to save himself from. This was the plan. This was the plan from the beginning, that he would give himself up for his people to save all those who would believe. And he promises the thief on the cross forgiveness, but how could he? How could he tell a guilty man that he would be with him in paradise? Because although the man hung on the cross for his crimes against the state, Jesus hung beside him for his crimes against God. That as the thief paid with his life, Jesus paid for his soul. And then came the darkness. Luke says that the sun's light failed. So great was the event, so monumental was the judgment, that even the light of the sun falters. And the curtain of the temple, the veil that separated man from God, tore from top to bottom as the death of Jesus made way for us to come to God. He came to us so that we could come to him. It's not a day of sympathy, not a day of abuse. It's not a day of futility. This Good Friday is a day of love and a day of grace, a day of redemption and a day of freedom for all who would believe. For today, your sins have been atoned for. Your guilt has been erased. Today, your soul has been saved. Jesus poses the question to the wailing women. If they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it's dry? Let me tell you, friends, the wood is dry. We live in a world ripe for judgment, a world that has rejected truth and embraced lies, a world that loves death, even as it tries to live forever in its own strength. But Good Friday shows us again the futility of the world's systems. And it calls us back to the cross. It shows us again that we cannot atone for our sins. It calls us back to the feet of the Savior. It calls us again to truth and goodness and away from lies. And it shows us that God is victorious, that he's loving, that he's just, that he's the only Savior of humanity. So I'm calling you this morning to cling to God, to humble yourself before the cross. To recognize our Lord and our God, the one and only true God, three in one, the creators of all things, the Savior of your soul. I'm calling you to commit your life to Him anew. To hear from the lips of our Savior, I tell you the truth, you will be with me in paradise. I'm calling you to make known in the cusp the good news of the gospel, that there is eternal life, and that we have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Let's pray.